participated in the town hall meetings and all of the meetings to make sure that the people who are setting this new system up, which will run all of the state's budget and human resource, payroll, benefits, leave, everything within the administrative services part of the state, will be operated by NIS, Nebraska Information System. And the one thing I guess I'd like to point out that we don't really talk about a lot is that the current two systems, NAS, Nebraska Administrative Services, or System, and which is the budget piece, and then the NEIS, Nebraska Employment Information System, that's the HR part, those systems are totally, absolutely, completely not accessible. And under the current system, an employee can't even check their own benefits online, like, you know. And so it's been a huge effort on the part of the commission and consumers to make sure that this new system is, will be, and it will be accessible. And the effort has to continue. It's not there yet. But I just wanted to point out that as it is now, you know, there's definitely no way that a blind person can do this, like the biennium budget request and all of these kinds of things that state employees do. So any comments or questions about NIS that you want to talk about? Or
actually, it's not accessible for the sighted either.
Right.
I know the other day, my wife, she works with revenue, and she works with the timesheets, and the one person took the timesheets off the hours off the attempted to take her timesheet and gave it to Mary Sue. Mary said, "This is not right. It hasn't deducted CD, this and that." And well, she said it isn't. So she another dissatisfied employee.
That's right.
So it's not. There are a lot of glitches even for the sighted, the so-called normal people.
Yeah.
It'll be resolved. The organization I belong to, the National, they've given assurances that if they don't get that accessible, they're going to fight it. They're going to the feds and they're going to court. So we've got the commitment from them and they're firm on it. So.
Right. Yeah, the National Federation of the Blind also is, you know, we had a resolution at our state convention about it. And, you know, this time, since it is a ground up project, that is a ground level project, there is no way that you know that we're going to allow them to back out of it. We need to not only have it for that particular thing, but we do need to be setting precedents in this country for having teeth behind the laws that say this is necessary. And there have been some articles in the paper and things like that about technology lately, too. It's a nationwide issue, and, you know, we're just a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned that, too, Bill, because I wanted to say with the the human resource part, the payroll and please, and so forth, it's not a completely started yet, but it started as a shadow system, and it's so that the workers in the state can, or the HR personnel can begin entering payroll and really have several months of practice, not for them entering, but for the system to see if it's going to work. And there were definitely things that didn't track over, that didn't convert correctly. So I know that there was some feeling that we, the commission, should just kind of boycott the entire system until it's accessible. And I've maintained that, you know, they have to work out those other systems, or glitches to the system, as well as the major glitch of accessibility. And so we've tried to really work with them to demonstrate we're partners with you in this, we want to help make it work. We understand that it's a huge thing, and it really takes some months of of trial and many errors to get it going. So that's what we've done with that.
I got a question. Who is giving them the go-ahead to even install that system if it isn't accessible?
Well, they, state statute decide, I mean, the legislators decided to go ahead and fund this several years back. From the very beginning, when the request for proposals to consultants went out, I was talking with the head of the project about making sure the requirement for accessibility was in the request for proposals, and then an assurance that it would be in the contracts that were set up and so forth. The problem, and there have been pushes throughout, but the thing is, this company we are purchasing the system from have their basic software, but then they go into the state or the business that they contract with and tailor it to the needs of that entity. And so, you know, it's not just like you go to the shelf and purchase, you know, this one is, this one isn't. They've said it was all along, but when it really... But they also said it works for payroll, which it doesn't. I mean, you know, these glitches just have to be worked out. And they, the company, obviously did not understand what it means to be accessible and what was needed for that.
They were going along just as if, you know, everything's fine, even the employees, you know, this is going to be wonderful. When they tried to use it, they found out that it's not so good, and they came up, asked Mary Susan, "Why are you so opposed to this system?" She said, "I'm not opposed to the system." I said, "We can't use it." She said, why can't you? She said, "Well, how about if we come into the office and take away all your monitors and say, okay, work on your computer, or we wouldn't be able to do anything." It's got to be solved. It will be solved eventually through litigation or otherwise.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that it will be solved prior to litigation.
Definitely.
And that, me too.
Jonathan Ross is going to Denver to work with the company this coming week, and they are supposedly going to have a revised prototype with the suggestions that he's already given to the system for him to try and tweak if there's further things. So, you know, I think they know.
Yeah, and the correspondence that you forwarded from J.D. Edwards, I mean, it, especially the last few, I mean, it certainly seems like they realize, and since it's state statute and, you know, that they're going to have to do it, and it doesn't seem like they're trying to weasel, at least in the correspondence that I've read, that they, it's now on their plate. I mean, it probably should have been more earlier, but I guess better late than never.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there has been weaseling between our agency, not the commission, but the state agency involved with that, and Edwards. I think there has been weaseling, but I think they know that they have to get it solved. ACB and NBC, NFB have had a lot of arguments over the years, but they're united in this, but it's got to be solved. There's absolutely no question.
Yep.
Well, plus this sets a precedent, like Barbara said, for other states. I mean, states, when they're implementing these massive information systems and networks, because this whole area of e-government is coming. I mean, it's some places it's there already, but, you know, where individuals can access almost any kind of record from the government, and so it's just going to be essential that these state services be accessible, and it'll just be excellent for us in the long run if we...
And it's not only the state, the federal, they have a lot of problems too with their information system.
Right.
Getting it down to the people, about PDF files and so forth, that it's almost impossible to use those. So it's a widespread problem, just not in Nebraska.
And also the success with NIST and the whole process with NIST will help... with other things within Nebraska, and the big thing that I mentioned on my summary, NIST and State Treasurer's proposal, I was at agency head directors meeting, which they have every month or two through most of the year. The state treasurer, Laura Lee Bird, came and presented a PowerPoint presentation on a new system that she's proposed to the governor and is trying to sell the legislators on. It would be a completely different way that all receipts coming into any state agencies would be processed. And it's all via technology, and it's a complicated system, but I made comments during the meeting and then spoke with her, and she brought her IT guy with her, and I talked to them after the meeting and told them about NIST and told them, you know, some things they needed to know, because clearly it was not even in their thinking at all. So I put them in touch with Jonathan. Nancy?
I was just going to add, I really appreciate all the efforts and time that Jonathan has put into this project.
Yes.
But also, I think, the correspondence that we're seeing and the commitment that everyone is making to resolve this, it's still Jonathan that's making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Really, no one from J.D. Edwards or anyone, you know, they're not taking any real initiative. Jonathan's still the one that's saying, oh yeah, flying in on Monday morning early, now exactly where you want me to be. I mean, mm-hmm. There's no real good communication back to him.
Yeah.
But he's keeping the pressure on, letting him know that it's not, we're not going away.
Right. Yes, he's really done a great job. And it has not been easy or pleasant for him, because he is so committed to clients. But the thing I really try to encourage him to keep in mind is the state of Nebraska is a huge employer. And if it were any other huge employer, he would, you know, this is part of his job. It just so happens it's also us. We are the state of Nebraska, so that makes it confusing. But our role as the commission in working with a client and their employer to make sure that work site is accessible, that's really what we're doing here. So, and it's going to impact, you know, huge numbers of blind people who will be able to work in all positions in the state in the future.
Yes, and we concur in that approach to it, and we do certainly appreciate what he's doing, what Nancy Kaufman does with him also, and anybody who has tried the system, anybody who's involved in the frustration of of trying to explain why it doesn't work and that kind of thing, because people really don't understand what the situation is, and we do appreciate everybody's effort in making this thing come around.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'd like to shift gears. Everybody's ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then just to briefly mention, we do have, in the works, as a result of our management retreat, the idea of a newsletter. Years ago we had a newsletter. We really don't have a person, like some agencies do, that can do a newsletter. But we had some discussion, and three people, Dottie Wilmot, Connie Daly, and Candy Larson, are a team that are going to work on a newsletter that can go out to our database of clients and former clients and any interested person who we can get on the mailing list. We're looking at whether to do 3 or 4 times a year. It would be at least 3, certainly no more than 4. And we aren't sure yet when it will start, but it's in the works, and I think it'll be a good thing. And it'll be print as well as braille and disc and email to people. So, and tape, you know, we'll make sure it's available in the preferred format for anybody that wants to receive it.
What is that going to cost?
Well, we don't know yet, because it depends on if lots of people want it electronically and large print, then there's not too much cost. We can do all the mailing, free matter for the blind, and so you have some print costs, but not the postage, which really can be expensive. With the tapes, they're 22 cents a piece, so depends how many people want them, and diskettes, I'm not sure how much those cost. But email, obviously, just you know, works within our system, so that's no additional cost. The costs of people's time and so forth, no idea. So we don't know. But, and that's part of the issue of 3 or 4 times a year. But time is a big factor too. Everybody's so busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's.
So anyway, that's. But we really think that it would be good. And
what is the actual goal or purpose for it that isn't met some other way?
Well, to communicate more to people of ongoing events and things like some of the things that maybe I report here, you know, that other folks don't have access to or don't hear about. And even if it's on the website, that means the reader needs to, you know, take the initiative to check it, and you know, you don't know when there might be an update or change on the website. So it's not like a newsletter or an email that comes to the people. And also, we have our little mail list on the website, and that's really just getting started. And we, the commission, don't really remember always what to put out through that mail list. It's, you know, again, we don't have one person that's in charge of public education. And so, anyway, that's the, you know, ongoing kind of informational things. And then with regard to the website, I want to talk about that a little bit. We do now have a link to Robert Newman's Thought Provokers, which I think you all know about Thought Provokers, and having a link there is very good. We do have more people on the mailing list now. The total is 17, so it's still not a very big mailing list, but I'd be, we also aren't using it a lot. So, you know, both of those parts need to be enhanced. This morning, Kelly gave me the report of the activity report on the website. Just in the past, month, the activity successful request was 1,288. And within the last week, within just the last week, 237. So that's pretty neat. And there's more information, but that's probably the most interesting. That's the one we can comprehend anyway, that I can comprehend. So that's pretty exciting. State staff meeting, we are planning on February, now I didn't write it on this page, like the third week of February. I think it's the 18th, 19th, and 20th, but I want to. Did you say it, Carlos?
I was confirming third week.
Yeah, 18th, 19th, and 20th. It'll be in Lincoln. We don't know where yet, but the afternoon of the 18th, so starting at 1 o'clock, Tuesday, February 18th, all day the 19th, and the morning of the 20th. And that is the meeting, you'll recall, that we're wanting the commission board to come and participate, certainly that first afternoon, we don't have the actual schedule of it, but you'd be welcome to participate the whole time. We'll be working out the details.
So what time does it start again?
At 1 o'clock the 18th. Unless one of you or two or three of you say no, that week's out of the question, then we might see if we need to go to the fourth week, but sounds okay to everybody?
18th, and what day of the week?
That's a Tuesday. That way people can, you know, do driving in the morning on the Tuesday morning. And,
well, I'll get back from Pittsburgh on the 17th, so that works pretty good for me.
Oh, good. Okay, great.
I'm usually the odd one out.
Okay. I don't know anything about Nichelle's schedule for the semester, and I haven't communicated this to her, so maybe you can check out. That's the plan at current time. And then the executive director evaluation. I've done some investigating into different approaches to evaluations, especially of CEO-type peoples. I don't actually have, didn't get as far with it as I thought I would in July. It's been pretty busy, as you can tell by the rest of the report. But I'm looking at some things that have to do with continuous improvement, and that I think it's really important that the evaluation of this position be really thoughtfully developed, and you know, as we were talking about in July, something that's measurable, but also making sure it really gets at the key roles of the position, which actually I think the BLIND, the five traits are very much, you know, the main things that this person needs to do, and so, but finding ways to kind of weave into that some measurable facets, I think. Anyway, I'm working on it, and it's been pretty interesting to read the different things that I've been looking at. If you have any further guidance or ideas, that will be fine, and we'll keep working on it.
Well, one thing as far as to setting goals, you know, I guess anybody or organization or anything, you know, I think works best when it sets some goals for a year, and then at the end of the year, you see how you did and what you need to do more or better or different next time. And so, and I guess, you know, since you're not only a person but also head of the director of the commission, that it's, you know, in some sense, your goals are the commission's goals, but that would be my thought as to what should be set down and to be, you know, examined at the end of the year is some specific goals that you have as director. I mean, that's fairly general, but I mean, it's always one of the most painful things that has to be done, is to sit down and put something like that down in writing. But also, I think it's important to focus direction then for a given period. And so that would be my thought as to what I think would be useful is to, you know, specifically mention a few goals, two or three, that you would like to see, you know, take place or that you think are important, and then maybe briefly how you think those goals can be met, and then at the end of the year or maybe even 6 months kind of semi-progress report, and then at the end of the year, you know, go over the exact how those goals are being met.
Yeah, and in fact, we have requested that this year, and that's, you know, it's on the agenda again, you know, this time to, you know, for us to, you know what those are, so that we do have that as part of the basis for being able to measure progress,
right,
and that kind of thing.
Yes, definitely, and that's part of the two are, you know, definitely linked, the goals, setting the goals, and then the perspective of the evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, setting those goals is a real important part of this.
And then I don't know if this is the right time, we're bringing it up later, Barbara, but I had emailed everybody.
It's further on down.
Okay.
On the...
Okay.
Okay. Anything else on that one? Okay. Then the last thing I want to talk about is rules. And we did meet with Lynn Melson, who is the Assistant Attorney General assigned to us. And we went through all of the, you know, point by point, the letters that she had written regarding the rules. A lot of the changes are going to be language and non-substantive. so not requiring the whole process to start over. We need, the major thing is just needing to move closer to the state statute in every regard. There are some parts that are going to take a really closer look, especially with regard to the blind vendor rule. And actually, some of the things were actually things that we took from the Rule 206, which is already on the books as the blind vendor rule and regulations. But a different attorney is reviewing it this time, and so at some points, you know, there were things that she saw that she didn't think complied with state statute, whereas, but it's already, you know, it was considered that it did before. So we will be working on language and negotiating further, and it's going to take more work. But it was, you know, quite a few months from when we sent it to her before we got anything back. So it's going to take a while to get work through that. But I felt really pretty positive after the meeting that most of the things I think we'll be able to work through and make some changes in language that bring the rule closer to state statute, but don't you know, hurt anything that we do.
Now, does anything in it cause us to need to start over?
Possibly the blind vendor rule, the details of that.
But now, is it possible to start the process over for one and not the other? Or?
Yeah, they're all separate. We just happened to do them all together.
We just did them all at the same time, okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, if we can get through letters back and forth and revisions back and forth, the others to be acceptable, then we'll do that. And I'll keep you posted of the progress.
So there isn't actually any kind of a deadline. They don't have a deadline or anything like that. That's kind of too bad because things can go on forever when that's the case.
Right. But on the other hand, it helps. I mean, we really worked hard, as you all know, in the development of these in the first place. And then with budget, mainly budget and NIST stuff, as well as other kind of internal things through the summer and so forth, you know, it's just a lot on the plate here. And so it's a relief that we don't have to have these turned around by a certain time. I don't know how we could have done that, truly. So at least having no definite deadline, you know, gives us a little more breathing space. Any other questions or comments on that? And if not, I am finished. Thank you.
I would just take a step back and just to, because I think we need to be more specific, is when do you think, as far as the goals, that can be completed, as far as setting something down that we can...
Sure. Well, certainly by the next meeting, but I would think in between now and the next board meeting, you know, we could exchange some drafts, if that's, you know, as I get some goals drafted and then exchange them with the board and get comments and then fine-tune it, that could happen off and on in between now and the next meeting.
Okay, and I would think that by the next meeting we'd want to be completed with the process,
right?
So that...
Yeah, that's what I'm suggesting.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Now, it's about 10:19 or something like that. The next item on the agenda is the the video from the center, is that ready to go, or should we take a break to allow that to be gotten ready, or?
I believe it's ready to go. It's up to you if you want to do a little break or not. Do you know if it's set up right at the spot even?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, bye. Thanks for coming.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Hey, bye.
Did you want me to go ahead and start, Barbara, or do you want to do?
Sure, unless anybody is just absolutely insistent that we, I mean, I tend to want to go, move
press
forward
on.
And keep going.
Okay, great. The video is a wonderful result of a suggestion from the board to provide something that could be used to, you know, maybe take less time in the center with for tours of the center. And also, we want to use it for staff training and for public education. The one that you will see today is the audio described, so it has the actual script, the people talking, as well as the narrator, plus an audio describer giving some of the action that is not otherwise, that's just visual. Okay, looks like it's plugged in, but it's not turning on. Oh, okay, there.
The Nebraska Commission for the Blind presents The Life You Choose.
Is that loud enough?
A young woman rides a horse.
Hi, my name is Christina. I've been riding horses all my life. I've been bell racing for 4 years.
Yes, it is.
This year I won a buckle at our state bell run in Broken Bow, Nebraska.
She pets a small dog.
I grew up on a farm. I really love animals. I'm going to school right now to be a horse and dog therapist.
A man working in a wood shop.
This, according to the instructions, is a 6-hour canoe. It's made of African mahogany and marine-grade plywood. I've used a variety of different tools to build it, including the sander, the table saw, and a router. It was my dream to construct her, and now it's happening.
We're Jamie and Jason, and this is our son, Isaac. We have had the opportunity to raise our ailing folks' money just like any parent would.
Blindness isn't stopping me from pursuing my dreams.
My name is Dave. I'm blind. Blindness didn't stop me from constructing my own canoe.
Being blind hasn't prevented us from being impaired, has it, Isaac?
Barrel racing, canoe building, raising a child, all very different endeavors requiring different talents. But what Christina, Dave, Jamie, and Jason share in common are the skills they learned and the confidence they developed here at the Nebraska Orientation Center for the Blind.
A woman at a computer, using a braille note, using a slate and stylus, reading braille.
At the Orientation Center, we provide opportunities for participants to learn the skills needed for career and life goals. For a full productive life, a person needs confidence,
working with wood,
self-awareness, and self-esteem.
A chef at work.
Participants attending the center come from all walks of life.
I guess
a man translates Spanish.
Some with other disabilities in addition to their blindness.
A man in a wheelchair, signing to a deaf-blind person.
Here, They learn the alternative skills of blindness.
A man checks his blood sugar with a talking glucometer.
Acquiring travel skills. Using the long white cane to negotiate through downtown. To cross intersections. And to use
the signs of the escalator. You can work that. Feel that. Now feel the step plan.
Communication skills development. Helping blind persons to be competitive in the workplace and in their daily lives through Braille literacy and adaptive technology.
A woman at her computer.
Woodworking. Building self-confidence, tearing down misconceptions about blindness, and overcoming fears through the use of standard hand and power tools.
A man uses a table saw.
Daily living skills. Living in their own apartments, participants apply knowledge they have gained to real-life situations.
A man irons and vacuums.
Home management. In home management, participants explore alternative skills for baking.
A man puts muffin pans in an oven.
Frying.
A woman uses a deep fat fryer.
Grilling.
A woman uses a gas grill.
Shopping.
A woman grocery shopping using a reader.
And crafts.
A woman works with flowers.
We believe that with a positive attitude,
Christina riding her horse,
and proper training, blind people can live life to the fullest.
Children on a playground slide. A blind woman is their care provider. The center director presenting a certificate.
Our orientation center graduates are realizing their dreams on many different career paths. Like Bob Burns, an attorney in law. Deb Donnell, a switchboard operator with the Department of Health and Human Services. Doug Lane, a chef at Mutual of Omaha. And Daryl Walla, a school teacher at Bishop Newman High School.
Okay, so we talk about Inuits, we're also, is it, that's another one?
Our participants and their employers are recognizing that how we work is not about how we see.
Floyd Cologne.
I've been with the Department of Labor for 40 years. And in my 40 years, hiring Audra is one of the most satisfying things that I have ever done. Her work habits are wonderful. She truly exemplifies a full day's work for a full day's wage. Certainly when we hired Audra, many of the employees thought, how long is it going to take to train Audra in her duties that she is assigned to do? Well, I can honestly tell you, it took us no longer to train Audra than it takes to train an individual with sight. Certainly another plus that the Orientation Center has is that once the individual became employed with us, they followed up with them to check with the employer, with the employee, to see how satisfied we both were with the individual. And was the employee satisfied on the job? Was I, as the employer, satisfied with that individual on the job? I wish I had a whole room full of offers.
Hi, my name is Tammy, and I completed the Nebraska Orientation Center for the Blind last March. Prior to losing my vision to a rare eye disease, I was a nurse. I was also a mother of three and completely independent. At the point that I lost my vision, my world collapsed. I could no longer run a microwave, dial a phone, or even do the simple things like walk my kids across the street. And then I was introduced to somebody from the commission. And with their help and their guidance and their support, I learned all the skills that I needed to gain my independence back. Without the surgery, I'd still be at home, unable to do anything. But now I have my life back.
The Nebraska Orientation Center for the Blind, providing the training you need to live the life you choose.
Dave paddles his completed canoe on a lake.
It's about freedom. The freedom to live our lives the way we want to, not how circumstance dictates.
The picture shows our narrator reading his script in Braille.
For more information about the Nebraska Orientation Center for the Blind, contact the Nebraska Commission for the Blind at 1-877-809-2419 or area code 402-471-2891. You may also learn more on the World Wide Web at www.ncbvi.state.ne.us.
Produced by Kent Taylor, Taylor Productions. Narrated by Shane Burrish, Orientation Counselor, NCBVI. Description by Amy Burrish, Transition Counselor, NCBVI. Christina Georges, participant. Dave Sampson, participant. Jamie Forbus, graduate. Jason Thompson, graduate. Judy Kreiderman, participant. Ann Lynch, participant. Juan Carlos Sarmiento, participant. Aaron Gray, participant. Ron Henry, participant. Roy Hobley, graduate. Louis Mahini, participant. Judy Sparks, participant. Levi Campbell, participant. Amy Purdy, participant. Sarah Anzis, participant. Tammy Luby, graduate. Isaac Thompson, child in the park. Sydney Crane, child at the park. Matthew Davis, child at the park. Bob Burns, graduate. Deb Donnell, graduate. Doug Lane, graduate. Daryl Walla, graduate. Audra Kramer, graduate. Floyd Colon, Research Supervisor, Nebraska Workforce Development. Cheryl Poff, Deafblind Coordinator, NCBVI. Fatosh Floyd, Orientation Center Director, NCBVI. Jeff Altman, Travel Instructor, NCBVI. Mike Rains, Shop Instructor, NCBVI.
Well, I think it deserves a round of applause. Thank you to everybody who has participated, who has worked on it, and who has done the things and is doing the things that make it possible for us to change what it means to be blind in that way. That is really, that's really a good project.
Do we know how much that video cost to develop?
Yes, it was $7,000. And then with doing an audio described, and then we're going to do one with subtitle or the
captioning.
Thank you. I'm not sure what the cost of that is yet. But the basic cost was $7,000. And we used in-service training funds. Of course, it'll have a lot more use than just training staff, but because we have a quality award funding for a 5-year period, that gives us more in-service training funds than normal. So that's what we did.
Yeah, they did a nice job putting that together. Mm-hmm.
Are those videos going to be available for sale?
Yes, we should do that. We hadn't talked about that, but that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. I already have some folks who wanted to buy it.
Yeah?
I gave a presentation last week.
Okay.
And showed that, and the Health and Human Services Department wanted to buy some.
Okay. Yeah.
So what is the process for making it available that way or that kind of thing? Is there some kind of copyright thing or anything like that?
Well, we have the copyright.
Okay, so we don't have any constraints as far as selling it if we choose
to? That's right.
Mm-hmm. I don't was tension pro, but Fatosh did make a comment also that we had showing the capability of blind people doing different things, and the emphasis was put in the tape. And if you can see who is talking during the tape, is a blind person reading Braille, and then who is describing the video is also a blind person. So we put blind people all over to show the capability.